gathering together to bless God's name. Let's get those hands going. Like I say, it's all right to sweat when you're worshiping our Savior. Amen. Here we go.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, with streams of abundance come. Blessed be your name.
Come on now, sing it out.
Blessed be your name when I found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Oh, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Amen. Please be seated.
One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the What if church was a verb instead of a noun? A menu of real solutions for life beyond Sunday. Would you come? Rethink Church at 10,000doors.org, the people of the United Methodist Church. What if church was a verb?
God is good. And all the time. Hey, you sound like you're a little low on energy. Has it been a rough weekend already? Huh? Hey, let's try that again. God is good. And all the time. It is good to see you. My name is Eric Dirks, and I welcome you this morning. If you're visiting with us, we put out a special welcome to you, and we thank you so much for your presence this morning. If everyone would turn to the connection card, which is more or less the third sheet on your bulletin, and fill that out, that would be awesome. Put your name, address, telephone number. If you're visiting with us again, make sure you fill that out so we can greet you properly and say thank you so much for worshiping with you, with us today. Cliff will also make mention of that before the offering, because it's a long time between now and the offering. Anyway, if you are a regular attender, make sure you fill out this other side as well, so that we can know what your interest is and we can contact you in that regard as well. I tell you what, this last weekend was annual conference, and it was a great annual conference. Extravagant generosity was the theme of the general conference, and I don't know if our bishop in the state of Missouri wrote a book. Many of us have studied it in Sunday school time, but anyway, it's called The Five Practices, of which extravagant generosity is one of those. And as we said in the last couple weeks, Paul, I wanted to have his video so you could see what he said. He did an awesome job, our very own Paul Dirks. He was one of three youth that spoke at the weekend of conference this year. So it was, of course, Dad and Mom's heart was about ready to bounce out of their chest, you know. But he did a great job and talked about whenever he collected over 3,500 books that went to New Iberia, Louisiana, after the Katrina.
So now it's time for Kids Corner. If all the kids would come on down. Kids Corner will be brought to us this morning by Life Scout Paul Dirks.
Follow me.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Jesus,
how about you?
How about you?
I love Jesus. Yes, I do.
I love Jesus. How about you?
Hey guys, I'm Paul. I'm going to be giving the Kids Corner today. A few months ago, I hurt my knee playing football, and whenever I got hurt, you know, it was pretty scary. The trainer thought it was just a sprain at first, but I ended up hurting my knee really bad and had to have surgery on it. And it was pretty scary because, you know, I love playing football, and this injury could have, you know, made me not play football again. So, you know, being scared and everything, I had to know that the doctors having surgery on my knee, I had to trust them and have faith in them and know that they'd get the job done the right way and everything. And so I had, you know, after surgery, I went home and I couldn't walk for a couple weeks because my knee had to heal. And so I had a lot of help from friends and family. And, you know, I had to have faith in them that they'd support me. And, you know, still it was pretty scary because a lot of healing had to go on and to make my knee better. And, you know, it's getting a lot better now. And for a while there, it was kind of hard to tell what was going to happen and everything. And I was, you know, because I can't, you know, this is out of my control. I can't make this heal the way I want it. I can't do what I want with it. So I had to just have faith that what happened is, you know, this is going to happen. I couldn't see what was going to happen, you know, and I had to just have faith and let my, you know, I had faith that God would get it done the right way, the way it's supposed to get done. And, you know, it's got done the right way. And so what I'm saying is whenever times get rough and you can't really see what's, you can't control what's happening or you don't know what's happening, just have faith in your friends and family and in God, because what happens, you know, will happen, and it'll happen for a reason. So, yeah. Get your cups for... Oh, yeah. Hold on. I'm sorry. We got to pray. please bow your heads with me as we pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for all of us being here. And thank you for the warm weather and get some the sun out and warm everything up and melt all the snow. Get ready for some spring. Thank you for Valentine's Day coming up, and help us have a good day tomorrow, and help us all, as hard times come, help us have faith in you and know that what happens happens for a reason, and it happens for us and all of us around, and all of us and everybody around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hurricane. So anyway, we also, in that regard, I believe, yes, Larry Nelson, would you mind coming forward and making a staff parish announcement this morning?
As Eric said, last week was annual conference. A lot of business is transacted, the Methodist Church in Missouri. And one of the things they do is assign pastors around the state. And as staff parish council member, I've been kind of asked to announce who our pastor will be for the coming year. It's kind of left up to me to bring you the word. So here goes. We have this young man over here has been reappointed, so he'll be with us another year. So we want to congratulate him, I guess, and we're looking forward to another exciting year, and with him and Jamie and the boys being with us for another year. So
thank you very much, Larry. The way you were saying that, I thought maybe you knew something I didn't know. I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. Yes, we are coming back for another year, and I know that probably really depresses some of you, but anyway, we are excited to be here. We love this community. We love this church, and we thank you for your support. Now, the thing is, this is going to be a great year. I know it is, and we have a lot of things that need to take place in this church this year for us to continue our growth. So make sure that you're deep in prayer and that you are always leaning forward into the Spirit of God as we go through this year. But thank you, Larry, so much for your announcement this morning. Deanna also has an announcement.
Well, just on behalf of myself and the preschool board, I wanted to thank everybody that came out to the block party Friday night. We had a pretty good crowd, and we raised just under $1,000 for the preschool. So
yay.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you, Deanna. Appreciate it. Please pay attention to the inserts. Of course, as always, we have the what we like to call the Cliff Notes, or our study guide for this week based on the sermon. And Lifeline screening is coming in again. Several of you took advantage of this last time it was here. I can't remember, maybe a year ago. And a couple of you found some things that might be going on and took a deeper look into that. And so we celebrate the ministry that Lifeline does for us as a way to help us know what's going on inside our bodies and if we need to go to the doctor and take a more serious look at things going on in there. So make sure you take advantage of that. You can pre-registration call that number right there at the bottom, or in that box, I should say, so you can sign up for that. It'll be July 7th, and that's a Thursday. So, again, thank you for being here today. I look forward to the next year. I'm really excited about it. And are you ready for a wonderful worship service this morning? All right, let us have a prayer this morning. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We thank you so much for the amazing things and the amazing ways that you have blessed us in the last several years, God. We ask for your continued blessing. But we also ask, God, that we have the courage to move into what you are blessing. Help us, Lord, keep our eyes and our spirits alive in you so that we can see how you are present in this community, so that we can see and understand what you are blessing. And again, Lord, help us. Give us the courage. Give us the energy. Give us the will to move into that, Lord. This morning, as we worship you, we ask for your powerful anointing. We ask you, God, to come among us because we want you here in Jesus' name. May all of those dark corners of our lives be brightened by your light. May all those shadows that we think are secret, that we know are not secret in you, Lord, may they have your bright light shine upon them. May all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place as your spirit washes over us and moves into this space, Lord. We love you and we thank you so much for your presence and your power and your salvation, Lord, in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are able, would you please stand and sing with me? I sing the Almighty Power of God. It's number 152 in your hymnals.
Spread the flowing seas abroad and build the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at God's command and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord who filled the earth with food, who formed the creatures through the word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how the wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care. And everywhere that we can be,
good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Cliff Soppy, and I'm serving as your liturgist this morning. You need to be here last Sunday to know what that's about. First, I'd like to ask prayers for Stacy Grifford and Joan Soppy. Joan for having already put up with me for 47 years, and Stacy in her second year having another 45 to look forward just to catch up. But Joan and I and Stacy and Justin all celebrate our anniversaries tomorrow.
As Justin, by the way, is doing his first wedding this weekend. Yes. So we can celebrate with
Justin's
him.
Justin's in Oklahoma doing his first wedding today. So we need to keep him in our prayers and that all goes well with that. You have before you your bulletin. I'd like you to make sure you go through different things on the bulletin there. Just a reminder, the silent auction with the Circle A, the quilt that's back in the back, and make sure you take a look at it and put your bid in the envelope back there. Eric has already talked about the Lifeline screening. Keep that in our prayers. And see, I haven't done this, so I'm not too sure what I'm supposed to be looking for.
Well, a couple things. Okay. We need to make sure that we keep Joplin in our prayers. That is an Absolutely. Obvious thing. It has passed from the news at this point, and it's easy for us to move on and forget. And after speaking with Mickey yesterday, Mickey Lane, she said that in a couple weeks they're going to begin bulldozing the blocks. So literally they're just going to push everything away somewhere and start again. So that will be another moment, I'm sure, in their lives that is kind of eye-opening, if there could be another moment.
As you know, many of you know, Mickey was spearheading a group of us going to Joplin. It was supposed to be yesterday. And they called and said that the workers are dwindling, that they're taking care of at their site. That doesn't mean there's not workers there. But the workers that were coming to the site at the Christ Community United Methodist Church. And that is a church that many of us have gone to as far as Camino, or gone to visit with friends at Camino. So it is a church south of I-70, or I-44, south of I-44 that was not hit, and it has housed a number of people from the community, and also has been taking care of a number of the workers. But because of the way in which it is set up, there all of a sudden was not needed as far as us providing meals. But in about 4 weeks or so, we'll be back in full force, I guess, as far as a number of groups coming down, and which they'll be scheduling to serve. So keep an eye on announcements in the future as far as Mickey heading up a group going down to Joplin. So do keep them in our prayers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Beautiful, gorgeous day in the Ozarks. We are so lucky to be not only in this area, but to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We just ask that you be with us. We ask that Eric's message touches us and informs us, but brings us even closer to a relationship with you. All these things, Lord, we ask in your heavenly, most precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cliff. A couple things before we begin this morning. Today, I forgot to mention, is Pentecost. Does anybody remember what Pentecost is? Anyone? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Oh, that's not the right place, is it? Pentecost, we think of it as the birthday of the church. Right? It's when the Holy Spirit came down upon those men and women, the first church, you might say, in that room. And we know it as, they describe it as tongues of fire, right? Remember that? Sat on their shoulders, and everybody around thought they were drunk because of the noise and clatter and all that. Remember that? At least remember the drunk part. I'm sure that you probably remember that from your teenage years. Wow, they were, no. And it was too early in the morning, they said. But anyway, what was really cool about that is people were gathered from all over the Mediterranean in Jerusalem. Jews were gathered that spoke many different languages. And one proof of the Holy Spirit is these men and women from Galilee were speaking all of these different languages so that they could understand. And that's where the term speaking in tongues comes from, because they were speaking in all these foreign languages that they had no training in. Or maybe we should put it this way. They were speaking and the people were understanding what they were saying. Who knows which it was, whether they were literally saying that or whether it was an understanding on the listener's part. But either way, it was a huge day, and that's the day that several thousand were baptized in Jesus' name, and that is the beginning of the church. One other thing, the bus. If if you turn around and look right there at our what I call lovingly an ice cream cone, it's moving up, right? It's moving up. That's awesome. We have found a couple buses that we'd really like to get. The youth leave in 2 weeks. The buses cost $58,000, all right? We are right under 40, it looks like, if I'm reading that correctly. I think we're 35, 33, something like that. Remember, we have received an extension from this wonderful person on this double your money thing. Please, I am begging you, the children will use this bus, the youth will use this bus, gadabouts will use this bus. We don't know how this bus will be used because we've never had a bus like this before in the ministries of this church the way they are currently. And so there may be things that God has planned for this church through the use of this bus that we haven't even considered, that we haven't even dreamed about. And there are many of you, I know, probably could write a check right now to pay for even a 36-passenger bus, which would be awesome, and that would be great. But on the other hand, some of you may be able to give $10, and that would be awesome as well, because that would be $20, right? Up to a $5,000 check would be $10,000. Do you understand what I'm saying? So please, please, I am begging you. I know I've heard it. It's interesting to me, and it's a frustrating thing in the church how I work my hardest to be open to people. It doesn't matter if you agree with me or disagree with me. I want you to feel like you can always come and speak with me. And yet, I understand in Sunday school classes and things like this, there's a bunch of murmuring. Oh, I bet you they haven't thought about expenses of the bus. I bet you they haven't thought about how expensive it is. Folks, we have professional people on the trustees and things like that. We have thought about those things. However, if you believe that we haven't, don't talk to your Sunday school class about it. Is that going to do any good? No. Talk to the trustees about it. Talk to me about it. Talk to the finance team. You understand what I'm saying? Talk to the people that have been in the conversation. And there is no secret conversation going on. It's just that that's the team that has been talking about this bus. So I am begging you to, if you have extra over and above your normal gift to the church, please consider, don't consider, give to the bus extravagantly, as the bishop would have said this last weekend. It is something that, again, we have no idea how God is going to use that bus once we get it here. And we have made a decision. We're going to do our best to not get the bus until the money is raised. Now, if there's just a little bit left, we might do something there, but we don't want to have a big debt on this bus, all right? We want to have it in cash, because what happens if you hand cash to a car dealer? You get a better deal, don't you? And that's what we want to do, all right? So keep that in mind, please. Today, the youth, if this bus is going to happen, it's going to happen in the next week and a half, because we have to get trained on it, and our driver, which is going to be Mike Shockman, he has to take an extra test for passengers on it, and so we have got to get it done. So please, if you haven't given, or if you've given just a little bit, now is the time to step up for that. All right, I'll get off my soapbox now. All right, Acts chapter 22, verse 6 is our scripture for today. Acts chapter 22, verse 6. Where is the book of Acts, in the Old or the New Testament? New Testament, that's right. Acts 22, it's right after the Gospel of John. Once you find that, would you stick your finger in your Bible and stand with me if you're able? Raise those Bibles high above our head and let's say our Bible pledge today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read Acts chapter 22, verses 6 through 11. The Apostle Paul was telling of his conversion, and he said, "While I was on my way and approaching Damascus,
About noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone about me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I answered, Who are you, Lord? Then he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who was speaking to me. I asked, What am I to do, Lord? The Lord said to me, Get up and go to Damascus. There you will be told everything that has been assigned to you to do. Since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, those who were with me took my hand and led me to Damascus. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As we continue our teaching series, Myths About Christianity, we're going to look at a myth that many believe and voice loudly, and many others claim to not believe, and yet they live their life as if they do believe it. Do you understand what I mean by that? All of us have been in those shoes in some manner or means, where we say we don't believe something, or we say we believe something else, but yet the way we live our lives, people are saying, Now wait, I thought you said you didn't believe in whatever that was. So many of us live our lives as if we don't believe this myth. Excuse me, we live our lives as if we do believe the myth, even if we voice that we don't. And the myth is a person's life is purely by chance with no purpose. The fact is, many do not know why they are here and what they are here for. Unfortunately, when this is the case, this usually means that our life has no forward motion. And quite honestly, this goes with the church as well. Many churches don't know their purpose and their overarching purpose, and so they have no forward motion in the ministries of the church, right? But they have no drive. People's lives have no drive. Many times this causes our life to be filled with the here and now, accomplishing tasks, fulfilling whims, going to work, making a living, etc. There is no end, so the means can be justified. Does that make sense? You see, after studying Scripture over my ministry, I believe that each of us have a purpose. I believe that God made you who you are meant to be, and I believe that you are not a product of some random evolutionary process. Did you know that your brain can compute about 15,000 decisions every second? And that doesn't include the hundreds of thousands of sensory information that is received every second. I don't know how they measure that, but that's what the science books say. Did you know that your nose can smell 10,000 different odors? Did you know that your sense of touch can detect something as small as 1/25,000th of an inch? Think it through. There are billions of people on this planet, and do you realize that no one else in the world has fingerprints or retinal scans the same as you? Did you know that no one else has your DNA, unless you're an identical twin? And the fact that if the DNA strands from your body were stretched out, you know, they're tied really tight into chromosomes, if you would pull that apart, right, and it were stretched out in sequence in your body, this is no one else, just in your body, Anita, if we would take your DNA and pull it apart and put it end to end, do you realize that it would reach to the sun and back 70 times? Exactly, it's 2 times 10 to the 13th meters. On the average, a single human chromosome consists of a DNA molecule that is almost 5 centimeters. 5 centimeters. You are a complex, unique individual made in the image of God. Okay, Eric, I was created by God, but that doesn't mean I have real value or purpose for my life. Now let's think about this for a minute or two, and let's begin with genetics, our godly genetic heritage. If you think back on your family tree, whether you're proud of it or not, all right? If you have, you have all sorts of people that came from all sorts of places to make you. Each of those people grew up in a different situation with different experiences as well as different environments that shaped them, maybe even shaped them genetically. When you get to thinking about it, over the years, thousands of people's love, life experiences, values, genetic codes, etc., are inside of you right now. Have you thought about this? What is always amazing to me is that even though Jamie and I, the same two people, have three sons, yet, boy, are those three sons three totally different individuals. Even in the womb, Jamie had a good idea if they were going to be feisty or easygoing. Moms, you know that, right? My point is that God is already at work making us unique in our familial heritage, shaping us for specific tasks. So, if we move on to our spiritual heritage. Whoops, wrong button. Spiritual heritage. Psalm 139 is one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. It sustained me through a time whenever, Jamie and I lost our little girl she was a stillborn daughter, and we just about got out of the ministry and everything else because of the reflection, I guess, that caused on our life. But this scripture sustained me and us when we needed it most. It's just one example where the Bible tells us that God knew you and me while we were being formed in our mother's womb. The Bible tells us that God was already involved in shaping your life. Psalm 139 says, "For it was you, God, who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." That's another word for womb. "Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed." The creator of all that has been, all that is, and all that ever will be knew you when you were being formed in your mother's womb. You are not a mistake. It doesn't matter if humans have told you your whole life, you know what, you were a second thought, you were an afterthought, you were just a mistake, we didn't mean to have you. God oversaw the formation of you in your mother's womb. And not only that, he already had plans for you. He was looking forward to you, to working with you. God was already dreaming about you. And I didn't understand that until Callie Lee happened. Boy, I had so many dreams about my little girl. Right? I can understand how God would be dreaming about what God is going to do with you. I can understand how God would say, "Oh, I can't wait to work with this person when they get older." See, you are very special. God has a specific task for you to accomplish, a specific purpose for you to accomplish. It is the task you were created for. Not only do you have a reason for your life on this planet, but you also are a very unique and valuable person. You are a precise individual, tailor-made by the great designer. You are God's special creation. You know, it's just amazing to me how God's hand can be at work in this. Now, if we pull back from this a little bit and we think about our scripture for today, Acts 22, 6 through 11. When Paul is talking about his conversion, we know that after Saul's conversion, which that's the same person if you don't know, he changed his life, and with that change, he changed his name to Paul. Paul went through many persecutions himself because of his belief in the reason God put him on the earth. To be honest, it is mainly because of Paul that you and I are Christians today. His letters have formed the church more than anyone else other than Jesus. Paul was the last of the apostles. I believe one thing we can glean from Paul this morning is that a life in Christ is not easy. Amen? As a matter of fact, if life is too easy, we probably have fallen away from God's will and wandered into some sort of worldly living. However, I want you to notice something. I want you to look at all the other people in our scripture for today only. This isn't talking about the rest of this book. This is talking about our scripture for today, which were aligned with God's will and made this a success, Paul's conversion. We have those who helped Paul after he was blind that helped him get to Damascus. I mean, they weren't even named, were they, in our scripture? In any scripture. Paul, or Saul at that time, stayed at some people's home. They opened up their home to this person who has been killing Christians. I mean, think about this, folks. If they didn't have a strong word from God and weren't willing to open up their home, who knows what would have happened? He stayed there for 3 days while he was blind and fasting. Then we have Ananias, the one who is named, who had to trust God that this wasn't some sort of a trap to find the Christians in Damascus, right? Remember, on his way to Damascus, he was stoning people, including the famous Stephen, right? It is because of God's power through Ananias that Saul could now see, and he relayed God's will for Saul's life to Saul and baptized Saul and fed him. Now, think about this. Without each of these people being in line with God's will and then actually doing their task, Saul may have never become Paul. What would have happened to Saul's life as well as the life of the church if any one of these people would have refused to be in God's will? Many times we can't see the big picture, can we? It reminds me of a song in the animated movie about Moses. There's a great song about how we are the thread of a tapestry. And when you stand back and look at the tapestry that's being woven, it's beautiful. But many times as that one thread, we can't see what the overall picture looks like. Do you hear what I'm saying? Many times we can't see the big picture to realize that what we do makes a big difference in someone's life and could make a big difference in the world. We may think it's insignificant when actually it is truly life-changing. Now, I have used this story before, but it is a powerful testimony of something that seemed rather insignificant but ended up being life-changing. I'm going to say I, but it's not me. It's the person who wrote the story. One day, when I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid from my class walking home from school. His name was Kyle. It looked like he was carrying all of his books. I thought to myself, why would anyone bring home all his books on a Friday? He must really be a nerd. I had quite a weekend planned, parties, a football game with my friends tomorrow afternoon, so I shrugged my shoulders and went on, and as I was walking, I saw a bunch of kids running toward him, and they ran at him, knocking all of his books out of his arms, tripping him. He landed in the dirt, his glasses went flying, and I saw them land in the grass about 10 feet from him. He looked up, and I saw this terrible sadness in his eyes. My heart went out to him, so I jogged across the street, and as he crawled around looking for his glasses, I saw a tear in his eye. As I handed him his glasses, I said, "Those guys are jerks. They should really get lives." He looked at me and said, "Hey, thanks," with a big smile on his face. It was one of those smiles that showed real, surprising gratitude. I helped him pick up his books and ask him where he lived. As it turned out, he lived near me, so I asked him why I had never seen him before. He said that he'd gone to private school before now. I would have never hung out with a private school kid before. We talked all the way home, and I carried some of his books. He turned out to be a pretty cool kid. I asked him if he wanted to play a little football with my friends, and he said, "Sure." We hung out all weekend, and the more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him, and my friends liked him too. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle with the huge stack of books again. I stopped him and said, "Boy, you're going to get really big muscles with a pile of books every day." He just laughed and handed me half the books. Over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. When we were seniors, we began to think about college. Kyle decided on Georgetown, and I was going to Duke. I knew that we would always be friends, that the miles would never be a problem. He was going to be a doctor, and I was going for business on football scholarship. Kyle was valedictorian of our class, and I teased him all the time about being a nerd. He had to prepare a speech for graduation. I was so glad it wasn't me having to get up there and speak. Graduation day, I saw Kyle. He looked great. He was one of those guys that really found himself during high school. He filled out and actually looked good in his glasses. He had more dates than I had, and all the girls loved him. Boy, sometimes I was jealous. Today was one of those days. I could see that he was nervous about his speech. So I smacked him on the back and said, "Hey, big guy, you'll be great." He looked at me with one of those looks, the really grateful ones, and smiled. "Thanks," he said. As he started his speech, he cleared his throat and began. "Graduation is a time to thank those who help you make it through those tough years. Your parents, your teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach, but also your friends. I am here to tell all of you that being a friend to someone is the best gift you can give them." He said, "I'm going to tell you a story." I looked at my friend with disbelief as he told the story of the first day that we met. He planned to kill himself over the weekend. He talked of how he had cleaned out his locker so his mom wouldn't have to do it later and was carrying his stuff home. He looked hard at me and gave me a little smile. "Thankfully, I was saved," he said. "My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable." I heard the gasp go through the crowd as this handsome, popular boy told us all about his weakest moment. I saw his mom and dad looking at me and smiling, that same grateful smile. Not until that moment did I realize its depth. Never underestimate the power of your actions. With one small gesture, you can change a person's life. For better or for worse, God puts us all in each other's lives. God puts us all in each other's lives to impact one another in some way. Look for God in others. I want to leave you with an acronym this morning to help you remember how special you are in God's eyes. If you would take your study guide out this morning and grab a pen or a pencil. The acronym is SHAPE, and it comes from Rick Warren. He's the pastor at Saddleback Community Church. Shape. S equals spiritual gifts. A gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the church community. S, spiritual gifts. H, heart. You need to guard your heart more than anything else because the source of your life flows from your heart. So S is spiritual gifts, H is heart. A is abilities. God has given each of us abilities or talents so that we can excel. P is personality. We might be an introvert or an extrovert, thinking or feeling, structured or unstructured, but there are different ways that God works in our lives, but it is the same God who works through all of us. So S is spiritual gifts, H is heart, A is abilities, P is personality, E is experience. All of us have both positive and negative experiences in our lives, but God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Shape. When Jesus Christ was on this earth 2,000 years ago, He prayed to God the Father to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. That's John 17:23. The Son of God wanted you to know, that God the Creator wants to love you just like He loves His own Son. That's amazing, and it makes you very, very special. You are unique. You were placed here on this earth for a purpose, at this time, in this place, for a purpose. It's totally, totally up to you to grab a hold of that purpose. God has been planning and dreaming about you and your purpose since you were in your mother's womb. Grab a hold of that purpose. Let's go on the ride, all right? Amen. Holy God, I give You thanks and praise for this day. I give You thanks and praise for this church, and that is every person in it. Fill us, God. Help us realize that we do have purpose. You have given us a purpose. And so many times, the most obvious thing that is right in front of our face, for some reason, Lord, we miss it. So bother us. In Jesus' name, bother us until we grab a hold of that, whether it's through because of laziness or whether it's just because of blindness or whatever it is. Bother us until we reach out and grab that purpose, God, and further Your kingdom in Warsaw. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for communion this morning by singing I Come With Joy, number 617, and let's do the first stanza.
I come with joy to meet my Lord, forgiven, loved, and free. His love.
Praise God.
These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in your word. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion still salvation comes.
This next part's really easy. Like what? Six words. You can do that, right? Here we go. Let's sing it together. Because there is no God, right? Like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.